Spoon of consciousness. Let's raise our frequency.
Welcome to the Spoon of Consciousness podcast. My guest today is EJ, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Salutations, team. What would you like for me to say? I am a little bit of a truth seeker above all else. I'm definitely curious about everything that's going on in the world. I'd like to say that I'm a researcher, working on being an author and a few other projects as well. I'm just like you. I'm just like everybody else, you know, curious about what's going on in the world and trying to figure out what's happening.
So like a lot of us are looking for the truth, shall we say. What got you into your truth seeking journey?
You know, I feel like that's a question that everybody gets asked. You know, how did you get started? You know, there's no one way for me to answer that, you know, from having my own paranormal experiences to having great conversations with people like yourself and other people, you know, along the way. How did I get started into this? You know, I guess I could say I fell into it. You know, I fell into everything that kind of happened, with the UFO agenda, with the paranormal aspect of things, and then now we're looking at the political things and the conspiracies and the Illuminati and everything else. I would say I probably fell into it the same way everybody else did. I found something curious that intrigued me, you know, here, and so I decided to go after it. And then once I started, you know, falling down the rabbit hole here, you know, that's whenever I understood more over there. And so just like a continual rabbit hole fall, I really wouldn't know where to say I started. You know, something just kind of piqued my curiosity, and I just kind of kept going with it, and here I am. Halfway through my 20s, thinking, wow, I'm still doing the same thing that I was doing whenever I was 12, 13, 14. and it just gets more and more interesting the more I know.
You know what's interesting to me is, like, when you say you had a paranormal experience, I speak with a lot of people about different things. The paranormal or the supernatural, or whatever we want to call it, or the occult or whatever. Like, this is something that I have always been fascinated with since a very young age. So what was your paranormal experience?
Oh man. Because you're right. The way I see it with the paranormal, the supernatural, the occult, I feel like everyone has a story. Everyone has something that happened to them that kind of triggered them to think like, oh, is this real? Is this really how life is? For me, I would say it was probably around 12, 13 years old. I remember staying awake in my parents' front room watching cartoons. And then all of a sudden I got this super weird feeling to look kind of down the hallway. And then I was fixated on the spot on the hallway. And then I remember just staring at this area for the longest time. And then while I was staring, I saw fingers kind of creep its hands along the arch of the doorway. And it was this black kind of mass just inching its way across. And so once its whole kind of head shone or was visible, I could see red or white, very bright eyes from this figure that was peeking basically around the corner. Now, this creature was coming from my parents' bedroom, and I was sitting in the front room, and the only thing that was between me and this creature was the kitchen. Being a child, 12, 13 years old at the time, I didn't really think. I just kind of freaked out and ran into my parents' bedroom, like basically where the creature came from, because like I was scared. Oh my, like what is this coming from my parents' room? I freak out. I see it. I run into my parents' room, and I'm basically crying, not even thinking that this is where this creature came from. That's probably one of the most memorable experiences that started it off. I have a few other experiences as well in my life that's happened, but that one was probably like the definitive case that said, okay, look, while you may have like a grasp of things that are going on, there are some stranger things out there, man, and they're watching you, which is even more weird. And so, as I'm sure you've probably talked to people about, you know, the more you start understanding this stuff, you feel like you're becoming a beacon of light to these other entities, to these other spirits that also start to notice you. So that's something that I've definitely noticed with my research these days that makes sense from my past.
That is insane. You know, the whole time you were describing this entity, like, I have had a supernatural experience similar, not like exactly the same, but when I was very young. And something that comes to mind for me is that I think 12 years old is the oldest I've heard of people having this stuff. But like, it happens when we're young, right? Like, I personally think it's because when we're children or very elderly, we're closer to that border of life and death, right? Like, we haven't had all of our being taken out of us by societal conditioning or by becoming an adult or whatever. And this is fascinating because any experience I hear of, there's always these similarities, right? Like, whether it's a good or bad one, it starts with a feeling of, oh, I need to go and do something over here, but I don't know where that's coming from. Where do you think that feeling comes from? Is it like some sort of intuition, or is that those entities communicating with us?
That's a very good question. I have a series that I run for the podcast, the page, and the project, everything I'm doing, called The Paranormal Perspective. With The Paranormal Perspective, I have people like yourself and myself, experiencees, who have had strange things happen to them. I have them send in their stories to us, and we kind of find, I try to find commonalities between the two. What the person is experiencing versus what happened at the time that person experienced it. I think whenever we're looking at like the paranormal and the supernatural, this sixth sense or the seventh sense, as some people say, this is something that's innately built into us, because we are moving more towards a technological society, a technologically oriented world. We're basically shutting off our spiritual access to ourselves. We're not necessarily understanding that there is more to the human experience than we think. And so whenever we look at things like the paranormal, like you said, with this inkling, this sense, this feeling, that's a part of us that comes with our higher spiritual understanding, or that deeper understanding of the spiritual nature, or even the human experience. The paranormal, and I'm sure you've heard this all the time, but the paranormal isn't paranormal. It's actually super normal. This is actually what we're always surrounded by. And the only thing that is paranormal is the fact that we just decided to pay attention to it. So whenever we look at it, I think a lot of people think, oh, this is strange, oh, this is scary, when really, like, it's that common. If people would listen more so to their intuition, to their spirit, to their nature, they would probably feel and see it more so, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, you know what's really funny is when you say it's super normal, I like, in this day and age now, like, I think anyone you talk to about this, they'll be like, oh my God, devil, or you're weird, or whatever it is. Like, there's that innate reaction of, no, this is bad, get that shit away from me, I'm not interested. And when I tried to talk about this stuff when I was a bit younger, like, no one wanted to know. They were like, no, that's... And I think that is part of why we consider it to be supernatural or paranormal. I think it's, there's that element of conditioning there. But, you know, you mentioned Illuminati before, and this like ties into this aspect of the conditioning, right? Like, what agenda do you think is at play by them, or whoever they is, conditioning us to ignore that supernatural stuff or supernormal stuff?
I'll put a quick question before I answer. I don't want to answer your question with a question, but let me throw it out to you like this. You've been seeing some of the arrests that have taken place with the Pedogate, things like that?
I'll be honest with you, EJ. I don't watch any of the news. I try not to pay attention to what's going on in the outside world.
I understand that entirely. I'll answer it like this. With the Illuminati and how it connects to the spiritual aspect of things, these are people who are very well aware of our spiritual nature, of our multidimensional existence that we do have. These are people who have systematically for generations censored information, burnt books, destroyed organizations, meddled with history to manipulate the future. how does that tie into our spiritual nature? If they can take us away from our history, from where we come from our ancestors, if they can separate us from the source, separate us from the knowledge of generations, then they won. They can trap us here. They can keep us in a state of fear, to where, like you say, you know, where we do have people that only pay attention to the mainstream media, who don't know how to disengage. If people are only paying attention to what they see versus teaching themselves and learning what's actually going on, these people who control the information and will continue to try to control the information will win. So how do we get back to understanding our spiritual nature? How do we get back to understanding ourselves? We have to understand how these people are still trying to stop us from rediscovering that information that is innately within us. Like I said before, we have generations of knowledge within us. Our spiritual nature, this is something that everybody talks about. From the Greeks, the Romans, the Irish, the Africans, the Vikings, everyone, every culture, every mythology, every culture, every religion, every race has a spiritual implication to it. But as I said before, moving into this technologically oriented society, we're not really thinking about, okay, how does our spirit fit into this matrix that's being built? We don't really care about that. We just want more selfies and more likes for those selfies. We're not understanding that what we're doing is we're trading our spirit for our ego. And that's what, if anything, that's the only way I can see to answer it is when they have us trapped inside or have us focused on these things that are only one-dimensional, rather than us understanding how influential and multidimensional we can be, they win. Because that's what they're doing. They're trying to funnel our information, funnel our energy, and funnel our power, our creativity, into something that they can use, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so like, the way someone explained it to me very early on was like, we are capable of this, and this is like all of the love and the creativity and the spiritual nature that we have, and this is like love on the highest vibrational side. At the same time, we do need to experience fear and stuff, but it's on this end of the spectrum. What this agenda is trying to do is squash that down to, you can only do this. And everything to do with your creativity, your work, your life, your love, your passion, all that is squashed into this little box and said, that's all you get to do because that's what we profit from. And when we take selfies, I know that gets demonized a lot. I think there's a time and place for everything, but when we are like really in the ego, that's perpetuating that notion of you have to be scared all the time. You haven't got control over anything. And we know what's best for you, right? Like eat the KFC, eat the McDonald's, drink the disgusting water, have as much of these things as possible, because that's what will keep you in this state. And that's what we profit from. Having said all of that, what do you think we can do? I say this because I know you're already doing something, like with everything you do, the podcast, the channel, the things you talk about. And, you know, what can the everyday person who is not doing this stuff, what can they do to liberate themselves from the machine?
If there's anything I can say, or actually before I talk about the liberation, there's something that you touched on real quick. That I kind of want to continue. You were talking about how we operate here, you know, with the love, the awesomeness, you know, the human potential, and how they want us to fit in this narrow 360 characters approved statement by Twitter. That is, and this is, I'm sure you've talked to a few people about this, it's like the lower vibrational mindset. It's where we keep ourselves in a state of fear, in a state of ego, in a state of survival, or as some people call it, the reptilian mindset. Whenever we do that, because we are capable of so much immense love, so much immense power, so much immense like greatness, whenever we operate in this 160 characters approved mindset, we are just doing that. We're limiting ourselves. It's like, how can you convey the entire wisdom of the world from multiple paragraphs into 160 characters? It's impossible. You cannot do that. So that's what they're trying to have us do. Think of like our existence being put into a funnel, to where they want us to live inside of this weird operating parameter. It's really, really, really strange. And how can people liberate themselves from this type of technotronic takeover? How can they free themselves from these types of shackles? Conversation. Conversation saved a generation. Yeah, you're going to seem like a strange person for the longest time until, you know, you're content with your strangeness, until you're content with, like, your weirdness. I think a lot of, and you touched on this too, it used to be weird to talk about these types of things. It used to be strange to, you know, put yourself out there. But I think these days, a lot of people want to know, because they have this innate knowing within themselves that they want to know, what is that? What is that deeper meaning? Why do I have that urge to just want to do radical and strange things? It's not that you're wanting to go out there and destroy, like, an entire city or drop bombs or kill people. No, that's not it at all. That's what's being induced into you. Naturally, you want to share, you want to love, you want to create, you want to make, you want to do better. You want to do better than what you were given. And that's how you free yourself. You realize that with this time that you have, you're able to do only so much. So what do? You do what you can. You do what is right. You do what is normal. This, or what is natural to you. I mean, having these kinds of conversations, and that's why I have the podcast, having these kinds of conversations with people like yourself and everyone else who ends up listening, that's it. It's an honor to me. I feel privileged to be able to talk about these types of things in so many different ways. Like, it's just an honor for me. So how can other people have that? Learn to take a step outside of your shell. You know, you're not going to have all the facts. I'm learning something new every day, you know, but be willing to engage in conversation. Be willing to talk about these things that are uncomfortable, because if not, you know, we're going to leave the narrative to people who are already controlling the chaos.
That's so true. You know, one thing that I think is so interesting is, like, you said we're compressing everything down into 140 characters or a 1 minute Instagram video or whatever it is. And the human experience has already been confined to the vessel. Like, we're looking out of it. We need to expand as much as possible. But, like, why do you think it is? No, that's not the right question. I was going to ask. Okay, so we want to do better, right? The funny thing is, the ego is always striving for more, and the spirit is always revolving around love. But if we're always trying to do better, like, how do we know which state we're in?
That's a very good question. That is a very, very good question. And I think, you know, and I have this problem too, trying to differentiate between, like, the ego and spirit. Like, what is natural versus what am I saying is natural, just so I can feel good about myself? That's going to be a constant struggle, trying to figure out, like, the difference between the two. I think a lot of people have to have that conversation with themselves, because they understand that you don't want to be too prideful. You don't want to be too egotistical when looking at this type of stuff. You have to be open-minded, but not so open-minded that your brain falls out. I definitely find myself, you know, thinking, okay, I'll put it to you this way. Whenever I do some of my paranormal investigations, I have to go in knowing that the entity already is aware of my purpose for being there. The entity is already aware that I am there merely to help cleanse, nullify, and pacify the surroundings. It's aware of my intent, it's aware of what I'm doing, and it's aware of why I'm there. Whenever we go into things, we kind of have to have that mindset as well. We have to be aware that, okay, I could get hurt. It could be misinterpreted. It could be distorted. You know, there's a lot of different things that could go wrong, but there's also a lot of different things that could go good. We have to just be conscious of the decisions that we do make, because, like you said, the struggle between ego and spirit is very real. But I think a lot of things these days are just in that duality. People have to understand themselves. You know, am I being prideful? Am I doing this for the likes, or am I doing this for the message? Am I trying to get this out here, regardless of how much flack we're going to catch, regardless of how much negativity people are going to say, regardless of the trolls and the agents? You know, what is it really for? And I think a lot of people are asking themselves that question these days. So I wouldn't know how to answer it any other way than that.
No, that's a great answer. Like, I've heard some people in the past have said to me, the spirit is all about love and the ego is more about gratification from the external world. But, you know, I think everyone I ask this question to, every time I get an answer, it's like we're shedding light on parts of it that haven't been seen yet. Because we've all got different perspectives, and that's part of the reason I love doing this so much, is because no matter how many questions you ask, there's going to be more questions and more answers and more light shed on this like thing that hasn't been seen in its entirety. But one thing that you've mentioned that I can't help but speak about is paranormal investigations. So, like, what do you mean when you say you do paranormal investigation?
Oh, again, we're talking about the childhood and how that's basically just like set the stage for everything I've done up until now. Paranormal investigations. I have a small team. We don't have like a name. There's nothing official out there. You know, it's super ragtag. Me and a couple friends. But basically, we do that. We check out haunted locations in the area. People that know that I'm into these types of things as well, because outside of the podcast and the page and everything else that we're doing, I do the paranormal investigations. People call us saying, hey, you need to check out this area, or hey, you know, we're getting some strange reports here, or hey, we're having some weird occurrences take place here. Because I don't put a lot of the cases out on the internet. I don't talk about a whole lot of the things that I do outside of the page on the show. But one of the cases that I've talked about in other episodes, other interviews, and other shows, is how I'm basically at a medical facility. Yeah, let's just call it a medical health facility. And this place is constantly experiencing weird activity, like super, really, really weird activity, like the doorbell going off all the time, disembodied voices, objects being thrown, people saying that they're seeing entities, or saying that they're seeing little girls appear in two separate places at the same time. Like going into the weekend, one of the calls I got from the person that was there was saying, like, hey man, so I'll put it to you like this. I walked into the work and I thought that one of my coworkers brought their daughter to work today, right? And so I follow the daughter, you know, into the room over there, and then I see her go up the stairs. And so I'm like, huh, that's strange. Something gets thrown off of the wall. I look that way, and then I see that very same girl going up the other stairs on the other side, like from the door that I came in, following her into. She's now going out of that door up those stairs. And so I'm freaked, like, that person was freaked out. They go up the stairs, and they say, hey, so-and-so, did you bring your daughter to work today? And she says, no, what are you talking about? We've been up here all day. So this guy that's been downstairs saw this little girl ghost, this little girl spirit, in two different locations within like a minute time span, if that. Followed her into another room, saw her go up the stairs, only to have something shock him and frighten him to where he sees the same child in a different location from the location that he came from, going upstairs. That's only one. That's recently. That's recently. I have a interview, and I forget which Paranormal Perspective episode I did, but I had an interview from another one of the persons, one of the caregivers that was there, where he talks about how for the past 3 months, yeah, because I think I got his interview down sometime in March. He was talking about how for the past 3 months, you know, he had been hearing nothing but those doorbells go off. He was hearing conversations like in weird parts of the actual facility. Like he would go there and then to the location, like where he was hearing the voices, and then boom, nothing. And then he would hear it somewhere else, and he would just have that plague him his entire time there for 3 hours. And so those are some of the calls that I get regarding just that case alone. And that's one that I've kind of shared publicly because I feel like this is stuff that kind of alludes to, again, more of that larger reality that we involve ourselves in. And to say this so I can wrap it up and move on to another question for you, with that same gentleman, the one that talked about hearing the disembodied voices in different locations and arriving at them, the one who I got his testimony on, I remember recording him, I think, a third time downstairs, and we were talking about the paranormal, about the spiritual aspect of things, the spiritual nature of man, and kind of what we were talking about here. But while we were having that discussion underneath the stairs, the doorbell was going off. It was crazy. That's all I can say. Like, having that conversation with him, getting those testimonies on record were crazy, and everything leading up to it were even more crazy. So one of the things that we're trying to do now, to wrap this up for you, one of the things we're trying to do now is basically get a team in there, consecrate the ground, pray it away, because we figured out the location's kind of history. It's a little bit of a sordid past. I'm not sure if you want me to give you the details on that, or if you just want me to kind of gloss over it.
No, yeah, please, as much detail as possible. I'm fascinated.
It's we're in New Mexico. Basically, the land was Indian owned until about the 1800s. Then it got converted into a school, I think, in the late 1800s, and then it was torn down in the early 1900s. And I guess whenever it was a school, the area that the facility is on now was the graveyard part of the school. But this was a child's school, so they were having to actually bury the children there, which again leads credence to why that one gentleman was actually seeing the childlike ghost, and why it might actually be being playful and trying to get attention. So there's a lot of different things going on, like with this one case alone, that give me so much insight to the paranormal, that give me so much insight to all these things that are going on, that it's just like, it's mind-boggling.
Yo, that, I don't even know what to say. Like, okay, have you seen this movie called Grave Encounters?
I have not.
Okay, so basically, like, these kids, they are making a movie, right? And they say, oh, we're going to make a horror film. Let's go to this old abandoned mental institution. They go there and stuff starts happening, and they see, like, the ghosts of the old patients and stuff. And it's a pretty good movie, actually. But, you know, like, seeing those people who used to be there in those places, like, they say there's another movie called The Grudge. When someone dies in great sadness or great pain or agony or something, their spirit gets trapped here and they can't move on. But, like, why does that happen?
Psychic residue is what you're referring to. Psychic residue, whenever there's something that's been so traumatic that it's left like a psychic impression, a like mental impression of things that were so traumatic that the entity can't move on. The only thing that I can think happening with that is as we commonly hear, they haven't been resolved. These are lives that haven't been resolved. I think it's either the Chinese or the Japanese that have the term the hungry ghost. And that's kind of what comes to mind whenever I think about ghosts that don't pass on, entities and spirits that are still here. They have unfinished business. They're hungry because they are still attached here to the present. They have unfinished business. Why does that happen? I think it's because, you know, think about all the things that you want to take care of in life, and how much of it have you taken care of, you know, to your own time record, or to your own, like, you know, however you would like to take care of it, however long you would like to take care of it. And imagine that being that opportunity of life, that majesty of life that we're talking so much about. Imagine that being snuffed away in an instant. That would be traumatic to anyone, I think. And, you know, and this is where you have to look at, like, the multidimensional nature of humans. Would you want to come back? Would you want to stay? Or would you want to go? And so you have all these other questions that come into play as well that people have to ask at that very traumatic time, you know? So it's the human experience is something else. That's all I can keep saying. That is something that I think is infinitely amazing, is how mysterious we really are and how clueless we are at the same time.
So do you think we get a choice? Like, I don't know if it's like a video game where you get different options, but, like, when you die, you got that moment of, let's say you get, like, I don't know, a train runs over you or something, and you're like, oh shit, you know, I still had like a billion things to do on my to-do list. Do you think you get a choice of, like, well, you can stay for a while?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. What's funny, and this is what's funny, is I remember, because I've been doing this paranormal stuff, I've been doing a lot of research in like my entire life. What's funny is you'll hear certain tales from people who have like near-death experiences or NDEs, near-death experiences, that talk about when they die or whenever they feel like they die, they go up to like a waiting room-like area, and how they feel like they see other spirits. They see babies. They see parents. They see teenagers. They see different spirits at different stages of their life. And so basically they say that it's like a waiting room for your existence or for your soul. And so I'm like, well, how does that work? Are you saying that is there a finite amount of souls? Is there an infinite amount of bodies but a finite amount of souls? You see? And are we constantly recycled? So I don't know. That's something I think a lot of people start questioning, but you know, it's a very deep question, and they don't want to kind of seem like, is this it? Is this the only life that I have? You know, and it gets crazy, but it's a very good question. So I don't know. To answer it, I'd have to say I feel like we do get recycled. I do believe in reincarnation. From the tales of children who can take you back to the spot that they've been murdered, or back to the village that they grew up, or where they can take you to where their parents are, or their new parents. I would say that our souls probably go through some kind of recycling process. I'm not entirely sure though.
I'm in agreement with that. I think in my personal opinion, like there are, like this is just the flesh, right? It's not really me. Like I'm the thing that's, you know, like in the movie Avatar, right? They have the blue body, and then the thing that like you transfer your consciousness into that avatar. That's like what this is, right? Funny that I'm wearing a blue t-shirt, besides the point. Like that's how I view this thing. This, you can make a billion and 7-8 billion of these things, but whatever's driving it, you can't create that. That's like energy, right? They say it can't be created or destroyed. But you know, like this concept of what comes next or what came before, it's like I used to be really scared of death, right? And it's funny, like since I started remembering stuff from my childhood, I'm like, I just got over it. I was like, that doesn't really exist, because it's just the next phase of whatever comes next. But when I think of how fearful I used to be of, oh my God, all of this physicality is going to end one day. Like, I think in my opinion, that's what drives a lot of this ego behavior. Like, I need to hoard as much wealth as possible because that's what's going to distract me from the finite nature of our existence. Like if I can amass an X amount of dollars and have things around me, whether it's men, women, children, money, pizza, whatever it is that people want. Like if they amass that, it takes away it distracts them from the fact that whether you're the CEO or the janitor, you're going to be in that box and that's it. Like we're all done. And like from our conversation, I always think to myself, if I had this conversation with you a few years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I'd be sitting here sweating like, oh my God, man, I don't want to die. What am I going to do? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a difficult thing to come to realizations with.
Oh, I understand entirely, man. I really do. It's like, I think, yes, you're right. I think what happens is a lot of people, because they realize, like, I think one of the most monumental moments I had, like, understanding stuff is, like, you're a soul having a human experience. It's not the other way around. Like, we're definitely inhabiting this body. Everything is only temporary. You know, and I've had to like, I've really had to like focus on just that phrase itself. Like everything is only temporary, even your existence. So what are you going to do? Are you going to try to, like you said, hoard everything? Are you going to try to, you know, save up as much as you can and, you know, just never do anything because, you know, you're frightened and you're paralyzed by the fear? Or are you going to say, you know what? This is it. This is how much time I have. I think I can pull it off. I think I can have a pretty good time here. And I think that's what people, you know, that's what I had to understand. Like dealing with as much stuff as I talk about on the show, on the page and everything else, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I can't fix it all. I really can't. But I tell you what I can fix. I can fix my mindset. I can fix how I operate. I can fix how I interact with these things. As crazy as they are, yeah, they do affect me. But they only affect me if I let them. They only have power over me if I let them. That's had to be something I've had to ingrain in myself. You know, knowing that this flesh that I have, yeah, I might come from good genes. Yeah, I might have like, you know, I don't know. I might need to work out more. I might be attracted to some kind of people. That's all well and fine. But what is the actual implication of that? Why are people attracted to you? Why do people want to talk to you? It's about the soul, not about the self. It's about the soul. It's about how people interact. And so whenever you realize that our bodies are just like these conduits for this energy and this multidimensional way that we live, you know, like we've been explaining throughout this entire episode, you start to have that much more appreciation for the human experience, for like the individual and the collective at the same time, because you realize we're all trying to do the best that we can with the time that we have.
That's very true, man. You know, something that I find funny is like we're talking about things that like the Illuminati agendas that are being pushed on us. The funniest and realest thing that I've realized in the last couple of years is like that stuff is over here. Like it's in a little box or whatever over here. I'm right here. I control what goes on inside this thing. And that's something that I didn't like. I was basically like just giving away my power so freely. Like here, BBC News, here CNN, here school system, have my power because I don't know how to make decisions for myself. And, you know, fuck me for trying, right? Like, who am I? You know, I'm just human, right? Like, that's the way I saw it. I was like, how dare I try and change my life or anyone else's or help to reclaim this power? And that's why I get so, like, I had a conversation with someone over the weekend and he was like, we were talking about we're Indian, right? And there's a lot of rules and regulations that go with that, mainly around family. And yeah, he was like, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. I was like, hold on a second. Where's the gun pointing to my head that says I can't do that? Like, show me where's it at? Because I don't see it. And you know, like having realizations like that, like I can choose whatever I do and don't want to be in my life. That has given me so much power and made me feel like, well, Illuminati can't do shit to me. This stuff all around me, it doesn't really exist unless I want it to. And that's been like hugely, hugely powerful for me. Like, do you have any similar like realizations you've come to?
Yes, actually I do. Before I came into doing like the podcast and everything else that I'm doing these days, I used to be involved in the music industry here in America. I used to do hip-hop, EDM, rap, and things like that. Used to put on shows. Used to go to raves. Used to do a lot, you know. But then I realized that even some of my music had like a twinge to it. It had like truth in it. Like one of the verses I had was, I don't want the money and the dough. I just want the scrolls to open up your souls. You see. And so once I realized, like, you know what, instead of me trying to sound cool on stage, you know, like ripping sets, like killing it on the tomb, wrecking the coffin, you know, just like crushing beats. You're like, yeah, outside of doing that, what was the point of that? Outside of trying to look cool, what was the point? The point was to try to convey truth and try to help people, try to uplift, right? Well, I don't have to do that on the stage. I don't have to do that with, you know, like a mob of people. I don't have to do that with like several teams of artists. You know, I can do that by myself. So those several teams of artists that I was messing around with, those people were getting my power. They were getting my creativity. They were getting my energy. They were getting my attention. They were getting my time. They were getting my money. They were getting everything from me. They were getting all of it. And what was I getting? Nothing. I was just getting the pleasure of being on stage, right? When I took a step back, and then whenever I realized that, holy cow, I'm working with several teams of artists. So that means that I could probably do one of those things that whole several teams is doing. Bing, bang, boom, fast forward 2 years later, and here's where we are. Whenever you realize that we have kind of been disenfranchised from our power, that we've been told that this is what power looks like, this is what success looks like, this is what happiness looks like, we don't think maybe this is successful. maybe this is happiness. Maybe this is growth. Maybe this is what I really wanted. Whenever we take that step back and say, you know what? All this stuff that society tells me I need to do really just, it doesn't seem right. They keep telling me I'll be happy once I get a house, but then I realize I got to get a mortgage with a house, and so then there goes some of my money, but it's okay because I have a house. Is that all right? Because it feel, you know, I don't, something about that doesn't seem right. It seems like I'm, you know, kind of being swindled right here.
Yeah. Do you know what's crazy about that? I think it was like 2 years ago, someone was saying to me, hey man, you're getting a bit, I'm 25, by the way. Someone was saying to me, hey, so you can relate to this a lot as well. Someone said to me 2 years ago, like, hey, come on, man, you're getting older, you need to settle down. I was like, why? What the hell's going on here? He was like, dude, you're going to be 25, like over the hill gang and all that. I was like, so what do you want me to do? He was like, look at me. I've settled down. I've got a girlfriend who's going to be my wife soon. I've got a job. I've got a car. I was like, dude, all you told me is that you booked a location. Like, you made a phone call to someone, say, hey, let's, you know, I want this hall for this day. So that's them, you getting married. Two, like, you got in debt. Like, okay, I'm already in debt. I got student loans and shit. This guy was basically telling me, like, yeah, I got clothes, I got cars. And I was like, you are basically leaving that house vacant for the majority of the day. You don't like most of the people that you're around, from what I hear you telling me, like, oh, Sandra and Gerald at work are pricks. Like, I don't even like talking to them. And on top of that, you're buying this shit to impress them, even though you don't like them. Like, I told him this. I was like, I don't get it. Like, what does that have to do with me? And when I say this stuff, at the time, it was like, it just went, shh. And then a few years later, he was like, dude, I think you were onto something. And it's like, I don't want to have that realization in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. I've already had my quarter life crisis a few years ago. I don't need the next one. Like, I think we all have those continual reminders of, like you said, there's something not quite right here. Like, they're telling me to do this, but it doesn't feel right for me. And we're being encouraged to suppress that other sense, right? Like, they say we've only got 5 senses. Well, the other day, a fly was flying around here while I was doing a podcast. It was really annoying me. And it flew near my head, and I had this feeling like I was something, like I could sense where it was without even looking at it. And
just grab it.
Yeah, like if I tried to, I probably could have grabbed it. But it was a really weird feeling, like as if I had that extra sense, but I didn't, like I could feel where it was. And this is like, the reason I bring that up is because I think we are being encouraged to look at those worldly things like laptops, computers, money, cars, whatever it is, to distract us from what's in here that is really guiding us. Like, do you see any other feelings or senses and stuff that we could tune into if we were to move away from that material stuff?
You know what? Ironically enough, this, we're coming back on like another topic that we talked about, how they want us to operate in these 160 characters approved statements, like that. That's how they want us to be. They don't want us to be in touch with our spiritual side. I had a gentleman on the show, and we talked about the entire episode. We basically tried to figure out and define between the two of us what is artificial energy and what is source energy. The artificial energy being that wave, the Wi-Fi, the ELF towers, the Gwyn towers, the cell phone towers. That's the artificial energy, the 5G telecom energy that they're spreading out, that's telling you to take those selfies, put it up on Facebook, put it up on Instagram, hit up on Snapchat, you know, make yourself get likes, you know, whatever's clever these days, versus that part inside of you that's saying, you know what, get off, just shut it off, just shut off Facebook, just shut off Instagram, just shut off Twitter and Snapchat, just get off. That part of you that's just like, you know, you're being overly indulgent in these things, right? That's the part of you that's not lying. You're just choosing not to listen to it. And that's something that I think a lot of people are having like a hard time reconciling, because we're being bombarded on so many different ways by things like the 5G telecom signals, by things like the Gwyn towers and the cell towers and the ELF towers, that they're basically numbing us down, that they're dumbing down like our natural sentences, our natural sentences or senses, not sentences, our senses, they're knocking down like our intuition and our instincts. Naturally, you know, I put it to people like this. When was the last time you had someone pray for you? Then you didn't make it seem strange. How is it that we have come into a society that the simple act of praying or even meditating is now up for debate? If you can't pray, that is like, I feel like prayer and meditation are like the highest forms of revolution. If you cannot pray, if you cannot meditate, like that is someone seriously telling you, you better not think this way. You better not have those thoughts. You better constantly think about the stock market or the economy or the latest trend or Facebook. You better think about these things. You better not throw those ideas out of your head. And that's what we're moving into. We're not allowed to think for ourselves. We're not allowed to feel for ourselves. We're not allowed to listen to ourselves. It's like all that. I feel like every other day I have to have like a conversation about prayer and meditation. People saying that meditation is a new age practice. I'm like, what is new age? How far back does this go? Because meditation has been around for ages. But it's because we see this mindset as propagated by this artificial energy, by the technology, by the internet, by the trolls, by these people doing these types of things, who are saying whatever was in our past is null and void. We need to focus on the future. We don't need to bring anything from our past. We just need to keep focusing on the future, and everything in the past is demonic. It's like, how does that happen? How do we just throw away our entire history because it's new age or it's demonic or we don't understand it, therefore it's evil? It's like, how did we get here?
Do you know what that reminds me of? You know when the new, I don't know if it was pilgrims or like the new Christian religion came to Europe, and the largest religion was paganism and Wicca and those like nature-based religions. And they came in and they were like, okay, shut that shit off. Like that, don't worry about that. This is what you need. And anyone who is practicing those older traditional things, look how the stigma is. Even now, when you say to someone, do you know what Wicca is? They're like, oh my God, the devil.
You're a witch.
Yeah, exactly. Witch. And that's how, like, another way of basically saying the ancient stuff is wrong. Don't listen to it. How dare you? And I just see, like, by suppressing that knowledge, we're helping them out. Like, yep. By not going into ourselves, we're helping that agenda to be pushed even more. And even words like agenda, meditation, like just anything that's new age or like coming in now, it's got that stigma of, oh, you're just a hippie, man. Oh, yeah, 9/11. Oh, yeah, you want to talk about conspiracies. It's like, when we actually give ourselves a break and say, like, let's actually talk about this, let's actually think a little bit, then we can really get into some stuff that makes us think wider. But instead, we want to be like, oh, yeah, they just released the new iPhone, whatever, or stuff like that.
Yes, you're right. And think about that for a second. Is that you talking, or is that the collective consciousness? Is that just the technology? Is that YouTube documentary you saw on the Illuminati telling you to say that? Did you have that individual thought, or was that just regurgitated research? You see, and that's what we're talking about, is how we're in an age of information overload to where people have to have discernment. I'm sure it would be easy to say that, oh, you know, meditation is demonic. I saw Shiva do it. Therefore, you know, it's gone. Like, I'm not ever going to meditate because I saw Shiva do it and it's demonic. Like, okay, that's ignorant. But that's because they either saw it somewhere else and they're regurgitating what they've heard, or they don't know any better. And either case is not well. It's because they're not actually doing the research and learning where this stuff comes from. They're just regurgitating what somebody else has already said. So again, we see more of an agenda being pushed, as you said. And when we do that, we're letting these people who are pushing this agenda of shutting off our spirit, shutting off our soul, shutting off our access to source energy, communing with God, anything that has to do with our spiritual orientation, that all gets thrown away because it's demonic, right? It's demonic. Therefore, you know, we don't need to pray. We don't need to meditate. We don't need to listen. And I've had like debates with people because and another thing that we pay attention to on the podcast is like the occult, the esoteric, and things clearly like the paranormal. Meditation is not channeling. These are two totally different types of spiritual practices that have totally different results. I mean, praying is where you're actually trying to speak to God, and meditation is where you're listening. Channeling is where you're letting yourself open to anything come through. Like there's no distinction. You're just saying, whatever's there, come into me. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. But it goes back again to that ignorance factor and people regurgitating what they've heard instead of actually differentiating between the two and understanding what they're actually doing. That's why constantly you've got to learn something new every day. If think of it like a file cabinet, you got to throw stuff out in order to put stuff in, you know?
I'm so glad you made the distinction between channeling, prayer, and meditation, because like I've had numerous channeling experiences throughout my life. I've had, like, I used to hate religion at one point because and this is not my opinion anymore, but when I was younger, I used to say, it's a convenient excuse to explain why we're here. Or it's like people trying to make sense of this human experience. Or it's us trying to humanize that which cannot be explained. And I've come a long way from that. And now I do see a lot of merits in all religions. But particularly with prayer, I never prayed. And then I would wonder why, like, well, why is stuff not going my way? And I'm a huge believer and practitioner of the law of attraction. And I see so many things, like you ask for something or you talk about something to yourself or you're positively affirming things to yourself in that prayer state. And then you see them manifest. It's not a coincidence. Like when someone is deeply religious and they're praying for something and they see signs of it happening, like that's them using the laws of the universe, but it's been simplified for like practical uses. That whole idea of listening during meditation, I always say, like, all right, I'm turning off the Wi-Fi and I'm gonna go and download. Like, that is the best, like, the best way to explain it for me. Like, that's when I really started to get it. Like, someone was like, have you downloaded yet? I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I didn't get it. But then when I started to do it, I was like, whoa. Really, really well said explanations. EJ, we're coming to the end of our chat, but I would like to say for the benefit of myself, like this has been a really enlightening conversation, and definitely hope that it won't be our last. So for everyone who hasn't checked out your content yet, where can we listen to your podcast?
I would definitely love to talk to you more, Sasha. This was great. I can't believe we're already at the hour mark. If you guys want to check out more of our content, you guys can find us on iTunes or Google Play Store underneath Factions of Freedom. We're basically, I try to put us out there on most of the other sound platforms, music platforms like SoundCloud, MixCloud, TuneIn Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook as well. And all those other platforms. We put out episodes every Friday. And basically mini casts in between where people ask questions and we just shoot the breeze and talk. But if you don't want to do all that, you can go to our website, factionsoffreedom.jimdo.com, and just get the most recent of everything that we're doing.
Cool. All of EJ's links will be in the description and on the screen if you guys want to check that out. Highly recommend that you do. And for everyone in the audience, you can catch the Spoon of Consciousness podcast Wednesdays and Saturdays. We'll be coming out with a lot more stuff later on. EJ, thank you so much for joining me. This has been so interesting and so different from all the other podcasts we've done up until now, and we'll definitely be speaking more. Thanks everyone for joining me, and if you're watching on YouTube, like, share, and subscribe. It'll really help us out. And until next time, peace.